Four times in a very brief span of time in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 35, Jesus speaks these words, "Take no thought." As the storm raged upon the Sea of Galilee, the disciples of our Lord come to him, they wake him and arouse him, and they ask him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And our Lord's response was interesting, wasn't it? "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew 8, verse 26. Martha was cumbered about much serving in her house while Jesus was there. And after she complained about it, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Luke 10, verse 41. It was the Apostle Paul who spoke these words to the Philippians, "Be careful for nothing." Philippians 4, verse 6. Every one of those passages, every one of those examples have one thing in common in them. Every one of them are speaking to the anxieties of human beings. Every one of them. Folks, just the mention of the word anxiety causes us to feel a little anxiety, doesn't it? Isn't that funny? All of a sudden, there are some uneasy feelings, some tensions that develop deep within us. We sort of feel the dread and the horror and the fears swelling within us as well. And most of the time, when we talk about anxiety, it has something to do with future events. As long as we are individuals who have anxiety overcome us, we cannot live the abundant life that Jesus so desires for us to live. Therefore, my friends, it is essential, it is needful that you and I learn how to conquer anxiety. Thus, tonight and next Sunday night, we're going to be talking about the subject, a life free from anxiety. Tonight, we have 2 points that we're going to be talking about. In our first point, we're going to be talking about just a few facts about anxiety. And in our second point, we're going to be talking about some of the causes of anxiety. And next week is the gooder lesson, the better lesson. It's going to be the one that talks about what God says you and I need to do in order to overcome anxiety. So folks, you can take in this tonight, miss next week, and you missed it all. You better mark it down. Be here next Sunday evening. But let's talk about the 2 points that we made mention of. Let's start with the facts about anxiety. And these are not all the facts by any means. We could stand here the next 2 or 3 days talking about all the facts dealing with anxiety. But here's the first one that I want to talk about. Not all anxiety is bad. There is some good anxiety. Folks, there are times in our lives when we need a heightened state of emotion, don't we? Because you see, when our emotions are heightened and there is that tension that swells within us, we become sharp and we become focused. And we do not let other things that surround us enter in and detract us from our mission. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us a lengthy list of all the persecutions through which he went. But when he gets down to verse 28, he makes a very interesting statement. "And that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." I looked up that little word, care. And Strong gives it 2 definitions. And here's the first one, care. That didn't help me a lick. Care means care. Boy, there's a good one. So I went on and I kept reading it. He says, care means anxiety. Isn't that interesting? Paul says, besides all of those things that are without, there is another thing that comes upon me every day. The anxiety for the churches. Now folks, there's no doubt that was a burden upon the Apostle Paul. But you see, it was that anxiety that was also good, was it not? Because you see, that anxiety kept Paul focused upon the church. It kept him focused upon his brethren in Christ Jesus. It was that heightened state of concern that caused him to go into his closet and bow his knees and pray constantly for those individuals. It was that concern that caused him to always want to know what's going on within those congregations. It was that concern that drove him to write 13 and possibly even 14 books of the New Testament addressed to his brethren in Christ Jesus. It was that heightened state of concern that caused the Apostle Paul to do anything that he possibly could for the good of those congregations. You see, the Apostle Paul says, I've got a concern, I've got an anxiety about these churches. And folks, that was a good thing. I wish that I could heighten the concern, heighten the anxiety among many members of the local congregation in many places today, because there's many who act like they could care less what goes on in the local congregation. It's concerning, is it not? And that's the kind of concern that the Apostle Paul had. So there is a good concern. How many of you have a concern for your children, your grandchildren? And folks, it's that concern that causes you to constantly be focused upon them and their needs and what's going on in their lives. So there is a good anxiety. But notice secondly, there is an evil anxiety. There is an anxiety that exists that tells everyone around them that you have a lack of faith. Notice what Jesus said to those apostles on those storm-tossed seas of Galilee. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Folks, that's a bad thing, is it not? When you and I do not have enough faith that we can withstand the trials and the tribulations and the problems and the storms of this life, that is an evil thing, is it not? Anxiety is bad also when it affects the health and welfare of the human being. And there are many individuals who literally worry themselves to death. We say that, don't we? And folks, their worry harms their health and drives them to beds of affliction oftentimes. That is a bad anxiety, isn't it? Sometimes anxiety can harm our relationships. Have you ever been around somebody who's just constantly agitated and worried and upset? I don't want to be around somebody like that, do you? Just makes me nervous, makes me anxious. Makes my blood pressure go up. I say, man, what is all this going on here? It's just chaos, is it not? Folks, it can harm a relationship between a husband and a wife, between two good friends. You see, there is an evil anxiety that can arise. It's interesting that in the Greek, one of the ideas associated with anxiety is destruction. It's interesting, isn't it? Point number three, third fact about anxiety. Anxiety is the number one mental health issue in the United States of America, folks. That's amazing, isn't it? Number one issue in the United States of America. Now, some of these individuals who have this problem have what we refer to as clinical anxiety. What we mean by that is their body and what makes up their body is that which produces the anxiety that is within them. I took psychology when I was a kid in high school or in college, and I could have cared less. I didn't learn an ounce about anything in that class. And then all of a sudden, when I got to the children's home, one of the ladies who was teaching psychology, she said, Vic, you want to teach psychology? Are you kidding me? I said, sure. So I took and in a little introductory class that I began to teach on psychology. And folks, one of the things that you talk about in there is the nervous system. And our nervous system is nothing more than a communication system that uses chemical elements. Did you know that? In between the nerves are what are referred to as synaptic gaps. And in between those gaps are fired what are called neurotransmitters. Boy, that's a big name, isn't it? When you're in class, you just raise your hand. Hey, teacher, what's a neurotransmitter? It's a chemical. Isn't that something? And depending upon which chemicals are placed into that synaptic gap depends upon how you and I react to things, how you and I respond to things. And folks, if you have a chemical imbalance, whether it's too much, too little, guess what? You can have severe problems. And one of those problems is anxiety. If you've got that kind of a problem, listen to me. You need to seek medical assistance. It's just that simple, folks. It blows my mind how many people will take Pepto-Bismol for a stomach ache, but they refuse to do anything for a headache. And by that, I mean a mental issue. Folks, there's nothing to be ashamed about with regard to mental illness. If you have it, you need to seek assistance. And if you need to be on medication, you need to be on medication. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so foolish to think, oh no, not me. Are you nuts? Folks, remember, that anxiety can harm your health. That anxiety can harm your relationships. That anxiety can hinder your work in the kingdom of the Almighty God. And until you get that taken care of, you may be just as unfruitful and unsuccessful as you can possibly be laboring in the work of the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want that. He does not want that. Number one, health issue in the United States. Point number four. There are three categories of individuals who are more susceptible to anxiety than any others. Let me talk about them. Number one, type A personalities. They are individuals who are what we might refer to as high-strung kind of individuals. They're always on the go. They set their goals high and lofty. They are individuals who are perfectionists. They are individuals who do not want to fail. They want to succeed. And they do not want anybody around them to be causing them any troubles or any difficulties. They want everybody to be in harmony, laboring and working toward a common goal. And they do that day in and day out, folks. Let one little thing go wrong, and guess what happens that little do? All kinds of anxiety. Number two, the firstborn in the family is more susceptible to anxiety. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, because of the expectation of his parents. You're the firstborn. You're supposed to set the example for everybody else. You're supposed to be my best. I have high expectations for you. If you don't land on the moon, you're going to be a doctor and a lawyer and a dentist so you can take care of me in my old age. Isn't that the kind of things parents have for their kids? So here's a child, he feels that anxiety of those expectations. And folks, also, doesn't the firstborn in a family have a certain role that he has to play? Whether we believe that or not, it's true. A wife has a role, a husband has a role, and guess what? The firstborn in the family has a role to play, don't they? You even see it in the pages of God's Word, don't you? Oh, Joseph was about to be thrown into a pit and then executed. And who was it that stood up and tried to do everything that he possibly could for Joseph at that time? It was Reuben, the firstborn. Why? Because of his role in that family as the firstborn. And folks, those kind of things can cause anxiety to an individual. And then there's the third group. You ready for this? Christians. Isn't that amazing? High achievers. You ought to be. You know that? I want to be my best for the kingdom. I want to do my best for the kingdom. Hard, diligent workers, absolutely. And oftentimes, are we not focused upon perfection ourselves? We don't want to be told we're wrong. We don't want to be told we're in error. We don't want to be told that we're in sin. We're trying to do the very best we can possibly do. And folks, those kind of expectations can cause tremendous anxiety within the Christian. Victor Eskew's type A, firstborn and a Christian. I got a lot of problems. You wonder why I is the way I is? I've done told you. Okay? But those are some facts about anxiety, folks. Now, let's go to the second point. Some of the causes of anxiety. Let's assume you have anxiety tremendously bad. And you've heard my lesson, and there's no shame, so you go to a psychologist, you go to a psychiatrist, and they put you down there on the couch. I know you don't want to do that. But they put you down there, and they start asking you questions. And guess what they always ask you questions about? Your past, don't they? And folks, the past can have a great deal of effect on the present. The things through which you went as a young individual, the relationships that you had with people, the things that you were taught, the ideologies, the belief system that you have at this present time can affect how you behave right now in this world. And sometimes that's not good. Fortunately, for most of us, our anxiety is not of that type. That's the reason I have chairs in my office and not a couch. Not going to lay you down and try to get back there in your head all the time. But there's other places from which anxiety arises. And I find it interesting that the Bible talks about some of these particular causes of anxiety. One of those is this: the basic necessities of life bring anxiety, don't they? We might refer to it as bringing home the bacon. We might refer to it as paying the bills. Nobody in this audience has ever had any anxiety over paying the bills, have you? And I tell you what, when I was preaching at Brookland, Arkansas, my kids were getting up to the age of being 16 years old. There's only 14 months difference between my oldest and my second one. There's only a couple more years from my second one to my third one. All of a sudden, guess what? I go from two cars to five cars. You look down there at my driveway and it looked like a used car lot. And I was buying all these used cars and they were breaking up and going bad. And my kids were calling me on the road all broken down. I was trading this car for another car. Barely had the money to survive, wondering how in the world is this one going to pay that one. Folks, I had no idea. You're talking about anxiety. My anxiety level is this high. Then Kathleen walks up to me one day. She says, "I'm going back to school." Are you kidding me? You don't need to go to school. You need to go get two more jobs. I'm serious, folks. I was breaking out on my back. I was having to be taken to the emergency room with stomach problems. It was unbelievable, the anxiety that I had at that particular time in life. All because of what? The basic necessities of life. And he said unto them, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your clothes, what ye shall put on." Matthew 6, verse 25. Folks, what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the basic necessities of life, isn't he? Your food and drink and your clothing. And listen to what he says. Don't take any thought about those things. Really? That's hard to do, isn't it? You work and you work and you work and you get to the end of the week and they hand you this piddly little paycheck. And by the time you get home and you sit down and you pay the bills, you look and you say, "I got a $5 bill left. That's one cup of coffee at Starbucks." So you choose the day that you run by Starbucks. And we just pray that nothing bad happens, don't we? Pray that we don't get sick. Pray that a child doesn't get hurt. Because we know then there's going to be big bucks that are going to be spent. We learn some major lessons during those years, don't we? Money doesn't grow on trees. Children are expensive, whether they think they are or not. The bills are going to come in the mail, aren't they? And I hope we learned the lesson that debt can be a cruel, cruel taskmaster. But you see, we go in debt to do what? To try to take care of what we think are those basic necessities of life. Another thing that causes us great anxiety is what I refer to as busyness. B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S. Busyness. Nobody in this audience busy, are you? Nobody. You just kind of mope around, pope around. If you want to do something, you make up your mind, yeah, I think I'd do that. Is that the way you go about your life? I doubt that. Folks, most of us are going about 90 miles to nothing, aren't we? From start to finish in our day. And if you've got kids and if you've got grandkids, you're going about 270 miles an hour. Because just about the time you think you can relax, guess what? You can't. I got this on my schedule. I got that on my schedule. I got another thing on my schedule. Then somebody calls me and wants something else on my schedule. At the same time, we're trying to do so many things all at once, and our schedules are just as busy as they can possibly be. And guess what we can't do? We've never learned to say no. Folks, if anybody ever calls me and wants me to come preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what I have a hard time saying? No. Can't do that. That just drives me up a wall. If I can be there, I want to be there. But you know what? Sometimes that takes a lot of preparation, doesn't it? If you want to come preach, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'll come. Okay, we want you to do a 2-hour lesson on the Holy Ghost. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, my anxiety level just jumped up to here. But those are the kind of things that we say yes to, don't we? And it came to pass as they went that they came into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, which also had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came and said unto her Lord, and she said, Lord, carest thou not that my sister doesn't help me? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Luke 10:38 beginning. Folks, what's Martha's problem? She is busy, isn't she? Just busy as she can be. Running here, running there, doing this, doing that. Unbelievably busy, isn't she? Got to make certain all them guests are perfectly taken care of. This is who? This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. And every time she walks by that door, what does she see? Mary. Perched in there on her little chair, listening to Jesus like nothing's going on in this household. Can't believe it. Can you just see the anxiety and the anger swelling in Martha every time she goes past that living room? What is that girl doing? She probably drops the plates a little bit, you know, chink, so that Mary will look and see what she's doing. Mary don't budge. Martha's just going ballistic. And finally, she just reaches the point of no return as she rushes into the room. Lord, don't you care that Mary's not helping me? You make her help me. Boy, calm down, darling. That's anxiety, folks, over what? Over busyness. Another thing that we get anxious over is what is referred to as fear, don't we? Isn't that what Jesus was confronting in those disciples on the Sea of Galilee? Why are ye fearful, he says. We turn into the pages of the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6. A prophet by the name of Elisha has entered into the city of Dothan, and as he goes to bed that night, the armies of Syria engulf the entirety of the city. And the text says that the next morning this servant of the man of God arises and he goes forth. And an host has compassed the city both with chariots and horses, the text says. He runs to his master. And the Bible says, and he said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Simple translation, what in the world are we going to do? That's what he said. Folks, here is a man who is filled with fear, is he not? How are we going to get out of the city? How are we going to escape this destruction? Are they going to take us captive? Are they going to slay us? Master, what in the world are we going to do? The very next verse, listen to what the prophet says. And he said unto him, "Fear ye not." Folks, here's a man filled with what? Filled with fear, is he not? And it produced a tremendous amount of anxiety. So much so that he couldn't even hold it in. He had to go to his master and talk about it. Have you ever been fearful of things in your life? Enemies ever rise against you? And you know those enemies are strong. You know those enemies are powerful. You know those enemies despise you. You know that in and of yourself, you may not even have the power to overcome them. Folks, it happens all the time, does it not? Just this week, Sandy was diagnosed with cancer. I can't imagine that, can you? Some of you can because you've been through it. You walk into that doctor's office and there it is, the big C word, isn't it? Now what do you have to do? I've got to deal with this. The enemy has presented himself. But you guess what? There's fear that swells up within you, isn't there? It could be finances. It could be a marriage relationship going bad and you see it going bad. And you think there's absolutely nothing that I'm going to be able to do about this. Maybe it's a child who acts as though they could care less about the faith anymore. Many of them just depart from the faith. And folks, those are huge enemies, are they not? And they cause parents great fear when those things happen. And that fear triggers the anxiety that we have. We lay in our beds at night, do we not? And we worry about those different problems and how we're going to overcome them. Fear is a huge anxiety builder. Another one is this: sin. Sin. Folks, sin goes contrary to the will of God, does it not? 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. So the minute I sin, here's what happens. My practice runs contrary to my profession, doesn't it? Here I am. I profess to be a Christian. But deep down inside, I know that my practice is not in harmony with what I profess. Folks, that causes anxiety. The Bible says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5, verse 17. Here you and I are trying to live how? In harmony with the Spirit. In harmony with the teachings of the Spirit. But yet the flesh is constantly crying out, is it not? The flesh is constantly trying to get us to do the things that we don't need to do, and the two are contrary to one another. And yet so oftentimes we yield to the things we shouldn't yield to. And I don't know about you, but when I sin, I know it, and it troubles me inside. And it really gets bothersome, doesn't it? When you begin to think, you know, I really kind of like this sin. I enjoy this sin. I want to keep doing this sin. And you know, you don't need to do that. Folks, there is a huge amount of anxiety. And the reality is this: as far as sin is concerned in our lives, one of two things is going to heal that anxiety. And I put that word "heal" in quotation marks with regard to one of these. First, repentance. Folks, when we truly repent and we put that sin behind us, we die to that way of living, then guess what? The anxiety leaves, doesn't it? I don't have to worry about that anymore. But here's what happens to a lot of Christians. There's no repentance. There is the hardness of heart within them. And guess what? Their anxiety's healed, isn't it? And I put that in quotation marks. By that I mean this. Once they've practiced that sin so long that their hearts have become so hardened, guess what? They don't worry about it anymore, do they? So what? Okay, no problem. We see that in the body of Christ all the time, don't we? And we wonder in our minds, how in the world do you continue to live that kind of life? How in the world do you continue to do the things that you're doing or not doing? And they act like it's no big deal. And every now and then there's that little profession of faith. And their profession and practice are contrary one to another, and you know it, they know it, but they don't care anymore. Why? That old heart is just as hard as a rock. I don't care. That's sad, isn't it? And I hope that never transpires in your life. Another thing, folks, that can happen is this. Christian beliefs and expectations can cause anxiety. Let me talk about two or three of them for just a minute. Are you and I taught that we are to be like Jesus Christ? That's what we're taught, aren't we? He's our example. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1, verse 21. The same apostle said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me," Galatians 2, verse 20. So we exhort everyone, you need to live like Jesus. Well, folks, how did Jesus live? Lance talked about it yesterday in his last lesson, didn't he? The only human being who ever lived a perfectly faithful life to God. Now, I need to be like Jesus. Is that hard to do? That's hard to do. Here we are taught to do it, and we know that we're struggling trying to do it. And can that raise your anxiety level? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it can do that. What about this belief? Judgment. Judgment. The mention of the word oftentimes elevates a Christian's anxiety. You ask a Christian, "Are you going to make it through the judgment?" You want to know what they say? "I hope so." Now that hope does not have anything to do with expectation. It has everything to do with desire, doesn't it? I want to make it through the judgment. I hope I make it through the judgment. I want to make it through. But guess what? I'm not really sure whether I'm going to or not. There's a lot of Christians feel that way. They're really concerned. Maybe they say something like this, "Well, I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've done enough." Folks, all those statements show a level of anxiety in going into the judgment. How many Christians do you know who says, "Let me be judged right now"? Don't know many who say that, do you? Because you see, judgment's a fearful thing, isn't it? And we question and we wonder about the judgment. So you see, our beliefs and our Christian practices can involve a great level of anxiety within us. There's one other that I want to talk about. And it's what is referred to oftentimes as a lack of self-worth. Individuals believe they're not good enough. They're not capable enough. They don't have the abilities to do the things that ought to be done. And folks, is it not heightened in a Christian? "We want you to teach." "Oh, I don't think I can teach." Boy, it just causes all kinds of anxiety. "I'm not good enough to do that." "We want you to go out and door knock." "Oh, well, I just don't have enough knowledge to do that." "Would you say a prayer?" "I can't stand before audiences." And yet, in the back of their minds, what do they think also? "I really need to be doing that." So here you are supposed to be doing something. No, you need to be doing something. And guess what? Every time you're asked, what do you say? "Uh-uh." Folks, that's a problem. And it causes anxiety within the heart of God's children. So there's a few of the causes of anxiety. I'd really like to just keep on preaching, you know. Talk about next week's lesson, because now I done got your anxiety up here. Y'all need to be calmed down, don't you? We've got a lot of things to talk about next week with regard to what God's Word says about how to overcome all this anxiety, folks. But one of the things we can do is P-R-A-Y. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind, which are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Folks, if you don't do anything else this week, get on your knees and pray unto God. Because that's one of the things that enables us as Christians to overcome anxiety. Don't worry about things. Don't be careful about anything. Don't get anxious over anything. Just what? Just go and pray. And we'll talk about that some more next week. Amen. Folks, God's Word gives us answers to every question of life and every problem that man faces, doesn't it? And that's a wonderful thing. He's given us all things, Peter said, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Notice He's given us all things that pertain to what? Godliness. If you want to be in a right relationship with God, guess what? It's found through the knowledge of God's Word. And the first process is simple, isn't it? Believe that He's the Son of the living God. Repent of sins. Confess His precious name and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. It's that simple. It's exactly what Peter told those Jews on the day of Pentecost, isn't it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. You can do that tonight. We want you to do that. Maybe you've not been a faithful Christian, folks. Maybe you are anxious, and maybe part of that anxiety is because you know that there's sin in your life and you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?